exactly what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be totally out of this world. And it's going to be good. It's going to be wonderful. What will it be when we get over yonder and join upon the glassy sea? Is just what heaven means to me. Brother Ronald Dean, why don't you come tonight, if you would, invite the presence of the Lord into this service, and let's commit all these things unto our Lord. We know it's the safest place to put it is in the hands of the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you.
Let's all pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads before you. The greatest king that ever lived. You're our champion tonight. Lord, we remember that we have an empty tomb. And we have a right to come to our high priest tonight. Lord, and we bring every one of these requests. Not with fear or with trouble or weary. But we lay them into your hands. Because we know that you're able tonight to minister to every one of them. Lord, you see our great needs, Father. But what a great God that you are. And Lord, you were wounded for our transgressions and you were bruised for our iniquity. You took the stripes at Pilate's judgment hall that we could be healed. So we stand here as a bride believing people tonight and take you at your word. And we thank you for it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you here. Those that are streaming the services tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Just a few announcements. We'll have our song tonight. We want to welcome some folks to the service. Brother and Sister Hinkle, Sister Natalie's parents, they're here with us in the service tonight. Also, Brother Keith Yonce's sisters, Debbie and Karen. They're here with us tonight in the service. Also, Sister Natalie's grandmother, she's here with us tonight in the service. Also, Brother Ronald Dean, Sister Connie Spencer here in the service. Brother Mike Price, Sister Carla Price, their daughters Amanda and baby Jaden. They're all here tonight. I know Brother Mike's here. I saw him in the office, but where is he now? Is he in here? Brother Mike, where are you at? Well, he's here somewhere. I know he is. All of our visitors tonight, if you're visiting, just raise your hand. All of our visitors, if you would just slip your hand in the air so we can see you tonight. Give them a good welcome tonight, if you will. God bless you. Certainly glad to have all of you visiting with us in this service tonight. Now, there's an announcement I want to make to you tonight. Let the ladies who attended the programs that Sister Ivy Blair had here at the church, you can leave your comments in the library. Now, what that means is there's some cards over there. Don't go over there and start telling these brothers what you thought about the meetings. There's some cards over there. Write down what you thought about it, and there's a big paper bag over there. Slip your comments in that paper bag, because these guys don't want to hear what you thought about nothing. I'm telling you, they don't. Just put your comments on a little card, slip it down in the bag, Sister Ivy will get it. Also, the couple's dinner has been rescheduled until August. It'll be on August the 17th. So remember that. Now, that all being said, let's sing a song tonight. How many of you are going to participate? We're going to worship the Lord. Right, we're going to create such an atmosphere that it'll be pleasing unto our Lord, right? I believe He's coming back just like He said. How about you? You believe it tonight? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Blow your heart. I believe He's coming back like He said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. Oh, yeah. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. You're just singing too good, though, I'll tell you that. Sister Carla here tonight. She's going to come and give us a song. I know that, I don't know if she was prepared, but she's always got a song. Sister Carla, if you come and give us a song tonight, God bless her as she gets ready to come and give us a song. Appreciate her, don't we? Give her a nice hand as she comes to sing tonight. leads us in a chorus. Brother Donnie gets ready to come.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship.
It is to be able to gather in His presence. Amen. To think that He loved us so much, He was willing to become a being of time. A being of time. In a body of time. To suffer for a time. To deliver you from time. How wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Certainly appreciate each and every that are here tonight. We have some great, wonderful visiting preachers with us. And I'm not sure what I'm doing up here with them guys here, but Brother Mike and Brother Ron, and we certainly appreciate them coming to be with us. And all of you are aware, of course, that Sister Natalie graduated this week, and she was given her great rewards of a new body. We certainly continue to pray for the family and friends during that time. I'm sure most of you know that the service will be tomorrow night, viewing from 5 to 7. So I want to continue to pray for the family, that God will just help them and be with them. Let's turn to now, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading verse 8 through verses 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, now this is the Lord Jesus, right just moments before his ascension. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Yes. I think that would be the normal reaction, wouldn't it? I mean, a man standing there talking to you, and all of a sudden he's gone, and you're standing there just, you're gazing. So the angels use earthly terms. What are y'all looking at? What are you gazing about? Now listen to this. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? Now listen to these words. This same Jesus. Now, was he a theophany? Was he a spirit? Was he an invisible being? Now, this is very important in what we're looking for to return for us in the last days. Now, I can make mistakes. You can make mistakes. All preachers can. But remember, these ain't preachers. These are angelic beings. So surely, they would know what they were talking about. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he went into heaven in a glorified body. Then when he come back in spirit form on the day of Pentecost, that was not the same return. When he come in this day in 1963, that was not this return. That's why I'm still looking for this. Because guess what? I'm going to take him angel's word above yours. Or any other preacher as far as that goes. Right? Because you and I grow in understanding, and they're not. I mean, they were just there. So they couldn't go any farther. Listen now as we read it again. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We're so grateful for your word. Thankful, Lord, that we can be gathered together again tonight with our precious friends and brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Dear God, we ask that you'd help us in the service tonight. May we be illuminated, Lord, by your presence. You're the only one that can really take the word and make it live in our hearts. So I pray that you'd help us with that. Help me, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that would be displeasing to you. Make me sensitive that I can follow the Spirit of God. If there'd be a need that would lay outside of what I've studied, make me sensitive that I can be able to go, Lord, to that individual or that need. Lord Jesus, we're all needy people tonight. Speak to us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We know that the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, let me say it this way, the body of Jesus isn't the spirit of Christ. The body of Jesus isn't the spirit of Christ. The body was created, but the spirit was not created. From the scriptures, I'd like to use this for a thought tonight in the form of a question. Does Jesus have a corporal body? Now, this question would never be asked in denominations. It would never be asked among most of the world of Christendom today because they don't even think in such a way. But because our message is different in many, many ways, then it has more truths, then in that it will also, Satan will try to get in amongst it with ministers and theologians and raise different types of questions than none of them out there would even think of such a thing. Well, my, you know, Jesus is a body. Sure, he's got a body. He came as a body. But why would there even be a question as to whether Jesus will return in a corporal body? Will it be a theophany? Is Jesus' body on the throne of God tonight, or has he already left? And when the seals is open, did he take the, was that the literal corporal body? What is there there? Now you see, none of those questions would ever even be raised from people who just read the Bible. It would have to come from those who are enlightened or have been shared an understanding of the message of the hour. Then those questions would be raised whenever they would read certain quotes, and then it would lead them to believe, or they would think that it would allude to, that Jesus does not have a corporal body, or the corporal body has ceased to exist. But yet, when you look at it, you think, we as the people of God, since this all involves our entire future, and it's so important in what we look for he will only appear to those who are looking for him. So if he is to appear in the form of theophany, and I'm looking for him in the form of a man, then he could appear right before me, and because my expectation is wrong, he could appear and I would never even know it was him.
But if he is to appear in a corporal body, and I'm looking for him to appear in the form of spirit, then if I saw a corporal body, I'd never believe it because that ain't what I'm looking for. So what I'm looking for must match what he's going to appear like, so I will be synchronized to his coming when he comes. Now, then in looking at that, you realize that I really believe myself with a lot of the misunderstanding that there is about the Lamb taking the book and opening the seals and the Lamb's presence being among the bride today. And is heaven empty? As I was telling you, I was reading the other night where one of the message preachers had said that the 30 minutes silence in heaven was because there's no deity in heaven. There's nothing on the throne of God. Hasn't been no body on the throne of God, no body on the sacrifice. There's been nothing in heaven for all these years. Well, I just simply put it to you this way. Since I'm a country boy, that's a bunch of garbage and trash from the pits of hell. Because it's contrary to the Bible, contrary to the message. Right. So, you know, but what then are we to look for? Are we to look for a literal Jesus? Will it be a body? Will it be an appearing of a supernatural something that can wisp in and wisp away? Or will it be a manifestation of something that passed from one form into another? Now, you know, God has a great plan, and we know that his plan is redemption. And notice this, when Brother Branham says this, and when their eyes were open, his corporal body sits on the throne of God. He sat down on the throne of God, but the Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form. Now remember, the body of Jesus had a day when it started. And the body of Jesus could die, but the body of Jesus could not ever be annihilated. Now remember, what becomes so confusing is that when you'll take one quote and company that quote with another quote, which Brother Branham did not put the two together. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Brother Branham says it over and over again, anything that has a beginning has an end. Right? So the body of Jesus had a beginning. But Brother Branham never coupled them two quotes together and said the body of Jesus had a beginning, so therefore the body of Jesus had an end. Preachers and theologians do that. But Brother Branham never done it. Now, isn't it amazing how you can couple this quote with that one and totally change the entire saying of what God is trying to represent? Now then, if we make the body of Jesus then the entire person of the Godhead, and then we make that the personification of the Lamb and everything, then when the seals are open, then truly the throne is empty, everything is vacated because there's nothing there. But if we are able, by the grace of God, to look and see that the body of Jesus passed from one stage into another in the very act of redemption, and that body became the redeemed creation, then we would be able to see that that body could be at one place, and that Christos, that anointing, could actually be here on the earth, ordaining a bride, anointing a bride to carry that same work, and it would be the same attribute of the power of Almighty God, both in heaven and on the earth at the same time. Glory. Now watch this. He said, the Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form. The word Christ means the anointing one. And the anointing that was upon him is upon the church, but not the body. How many's got the Holy Ghost tonight? How many of you's got the body, the literal body of Jesus in your body? The corporal body. None of you? Really? But yeah, you got the Holy Ghost? You're full of the Holy Ghost. I thought Jesus was a pillar of fire. And he turned back to the pillar of fire. So if you got him, how have I got him? How come we all have him? Well, how can he be here and be there? Well, that's just the way he does things. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, when he's standing on the earth at the same time, he said he was in heaven. Now watch what God does. And Jehovah Jireh said, he tore the body of Jesus apart, taking the spirit, lifted the body up to the right hand of the throne of God, and set down the other part. Notice, the body is right on the right hand of the throne of God, and he sent down the other part, the part he tore out, the spirit upon us, which is called the Holy Spirit, and that very life that was in Christ is in you. That shows he's your Redeemer. Oh my. Glory to God. You want to know how you saved? You want to know how you're going in the rapture? Because you got the same spirit in you that was on him. That proves he's your Redeemer. Not because you got long hair. Not because you wear a long dress. But because you've got the same life in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is my Redeemer because I've got that same Holy Ghost that He had. But I don't have the corporal body. Watch again. The life, the Spirit that's in Christ is in the church, the eternal covenant here. God took the Spirit of Christ, tore it apart at the sacrifice of Calvary. Now remember, the Holy Ghost was not the atonement for sin. It was not the Spirit of Christ that was the atonement for sin. It was the body. We have the Holy Ghost in us tonight. He intercedes, but He is not the intercessor for our sin. Can't be. That was not what was offered at the cross. What was offered at the cross was what? The body. So it's not the Spirit then that does the intercessory work, but it is the body. That was what God received for the atonement of our sin. And that's why that body must be on the throne of God at all times. Glory. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. You imagine Peter believing that Jesus would be a spirit? Can you imagine Paul and them guys that walked with him and the way they believed in that first century Christians and try to convince them that they ain't going to see no spirit? Just a spirit only? I had a message preacher tell me several years ago. He said, how do you know when Jesus ascended up from Acts 1 here? Jesus ascended up into heaven. That when the apostles walked away, that body didn't fall back out of the heaven and go back to the dust of the earth. I said, I'll tell you how I know, because the Bible says the exact opposite. And Brother Branham said the exact opposite. So anybody who preaches different is a liar. Glory. Amen. Now watch, so God tears the body apart, lifted up the body, set it on the right hand of the throne of God, majesty on high, then everything in heaven is controlled by Him. Then the Spirit that was upon Him come back, that same Spirit, not another Spirit, the same Spirit come upon Him to confirm the covenant to the royal seed. So here we have that Spirit part of the covenant. So what is the coming of the Lord? What is the rapture? So the coming of the Lord is a sudden secret going away. What is the coming of the Lord, the rapture? It is the body and the Spirit uniting together. Amen. Oh, glory. Notice the life of Christ returns in the form of the Holy Ghost, not a nail scar. The corporal body is sitting at the right hand of God. Look at this date, 4/27/64, over a year after the seals have been opened. And Brother Branham is still putting, Brother Ron, a corporal body on the throne of God. Amen. But the Holy Ghost was come to carry on this work. Now did the early church, how did they look at it? Are we supposed to be restored back to what the early church believed? Acts chapter 7 verse 54. Stephen, a deacon full of the Holy Ghost, had preached some pretty hard things and got folks all upset. And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, what a testimony to have, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now here he was full of the Holy Ghost and he looked there and saw Jesus. And yet Jesus is in him. Well, let me tell you something. If you read this message and the only place you see Jesus is here, you better read it again. Because you're not seeing it the same way Peter saw it, or Stephen and Paul and all the rest of them. And they were full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure about you, but I know they were. The Bible said they were. So here he was full of the Holy Ghost. You mean he didn't have a major problem saying, man, I'm the main thing. I'm the one that's got all the fullness of the Godhead body. He wasn't mad because he looked up there in heaven and said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. How can there be any Holy Ghost there? Because they had an understanding of the true understanding of the Godhead. So look what he sees, the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Well, glory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, how could Brother Branham come and preach opposite to what Paul preached? Friends, it just makes me sick. You know, just sick feeling to where people in the message think that quotes, that message quotes somehow contradict Scripture, and that we're supposed to take Scripture or quotes over Scripture over. What are you talking about? Isn't this supposed to be a message that turns our hearts back to the Bible? The message and the Bible are at odds with one another. There's something wrong somewhere. They're not at odds. It's our thinking that's at odds. Now watch Brother Branham. He cares, do you care? He says, there's no one that cares like Jesus. We can say amen to that, can't we? Knowing that his body as a high priest and a mediatorial work that he's doing now. Now notice the date here. July the 21st, 1963. That he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession. Notice, not the Spirit. This is how Brother Branham could stand there and say, you believe that same Jesus is here right now? Do you believe he's a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities? And if he was here, and if he would tell you something about yourself, would it help you to believe? Well, it's not me anyway, it's him. I see it breaking over you now. I see you coming from a doctor, your name is so-and-so, there's three steps goes unto your front door, you live in 1202 East Johnson Avenue, such and so-and-so. Was that Jesus? Amen. Was that Jesus using Brother Branham? But it was not Jesus, the corporal body. Oh, glory. It was Christ. It was Christ. Glory. Christ. Listen to me. Brother Branham ain't here, but Christ is still here. Paul ain't here. Mark ain't here. Luke ain't here. William Branham ain't here, but Jesus Christ is still here. He's right here today. Oh, glory. Notice this. So the presence, in the presence of God, that body must lay. So you can imagine when he steps out from the hidden part of God's mystery to change from the priest to the king. And as I told you a few weeks ago, it won't be a week, it won't be 2 weeks, it won't be a month. It'll have to be within seconds of our time once he leaves that position that he calls you out. Would you want to live on this earth 1 hour without a mediator? What about a week? He knows us too well. He knows us living in these type of bodies. We need a mediator. There ain't no way he's been off that mediatorial works in 1963. There ain't no way. God would have killed all of us and wiped us off the earth. But Brother David, it'll be so soon. As soon as he steps out of there. Hallelujah. And he's no longer a lamb. He becomes a lion. The prophet said the very next thing he does is call for his queen. It ain't a week later. It ain't a year later. It's only seconds because I need a mediator. His changing of the garment proves it's time for my body change. Glory. Hallelujah. He said the body must be in the presence of God at all times. For intercession, that God cannot see the sinner's sin. He sees only the blood of his own son, knowing he sent back the Holy Spirit to continue to comfort his people. So the Holy Ghost did not die, the Holy Ghost did not bleed, and the Holy Ghost cannot be there before the throne of God to intercede. Can he be in me and lead me to pray? Sure. Can he be in you and lead you to pray and intercede like he did, you know, many times in the scripture? Sure, he can do that. But we're not talking about an atonement for sin now. We're talking about a paracletos, one that is called alongside to help you and encourage you. Watch this. I love this. Some testimony. And he said, well, if he's the same yesterday and forever, and the same high priest, he would act the same way. Only his body is on the throne of God. How many knows that? Amen. The body of Jesus is on the throne of God. Look at this date, 3-7-64. A year after the seals have been opened. And the body of Jesus is on the throne of God. But he uses our body to manifest himself through just like he promised to do. Glory. Notice in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. This Greek word is actually citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. You mean we're down here in this body of time. We are in this tabernacle of humiliation. But it's not my citizenship. I'm only American because of the identification of time. But my citizenship is not a United States. My citizenship is not I'm a Tennessee. I am an attribute that was in God's mind before the world began. My citizenship, your citizenship is in heaven, friends. A conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch how this connects with what you're looking for. Who shall change our vile body? So what then if you're not looking for Him? You think He's already here. Body, spirit, theophany, the whole thing's already here. He'll only change those that's looking for Him. And looking for Him in the right way. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? According to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things. You see, this is when He's going to conquer death in bride form. This is why Paul said, this is when the scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. You mean to tell me He didn't fulfill that Himself? No. He left that for the bride coming. You mean that scripture was not fulfilled when Jesus said that? That's not what Paul said. Paul said, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. When? When the bride. It will be by the power of God that He will subdue death, not in one, but in millions of saints' bodies. Do you understand what God has in His mind? God is fixing to do the greatest event that has ever transpired. He's going to bring millions from beyond the curtain of time. He will change thousands or hundreds of thousands or how many ever there's going to be of live human bodies. And it will be sequenced in a matter of time. It will be seconds within the beginning of that to the very end. It has never been done. Satan can kill. You could kill. You could kill with a gun or run over somebody. But you can't change somebody to a new creature. Satan can kill and he can mutilate and he can put disease on. But Satan can't give nobody life. Satan cannot bring somebody to the grave. But my daddy can. Hallelujah. And he won't do one here and one there. But millions will raise at one time. Why? Because my Father will speak His word and millions will be released from the sixth dimension in one instant. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Now we know God, this is His way of doing it. Jesus actually was the beginning of the creation of God. Brother Bram says that this one, the latest in church age, He's the beginning of the creation of God. Did you catch that? How could God be created? He's a spirit. How could it be? He's eternal. He never was created. He never will be created. Because He was God at the beginning. But He that is in the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus. Notice now, Jesus Christ, when He was made manifest, when God lived in Him, He is God's creation. Oh my, the first and the last, amen, the beginning of the creation of God. When God created Himself a body. Now remember, God hadn't had a permanent flesh body up to this time. He would appear, disappear in a bush and a pillar of fire and all these things, but God had never yet had a permanent flesh body. But remember the plan of redemption. When God created Himself a body, He come down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Again, He said, come right on over to the Laodicean church and said, I'm the Amen, the first back here, the last over here. I'm the beginning of the creation of God through the church ages that we have to have you learn that I am God. God created in man form in the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. That would make a Presbyterian church. Just think of it. Beginning of the creation of God. Oh, I like that. The creation of God. When God was created. When God was made flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. Now, let's take some of these quotes and put them together and watch how we mess up the picture. Now. So Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. So then that had a start. Now let's couple that quote with this one. Now we believe that God is eternal and anything that has a beginning. Now when we take the former quote and put it with this one, then Jesus must end. You see how dangerous it is, friends? When we go to putting things together and we change the entire picture. It ain't just preacher's message, preachers that does this. But anybody that's got a computer, of course, is a theologian in this message. Well, they got a few books anymore and they're a theologian. It's about like buying your kid a doctor book and he reads it. Does that mean he's a doctor? You want him to operate on you? Say, Mom, I believe I can take that kidney out. No, sir, son, I don't think so. Well, I read this book. My goodness, I can tell you what he said in page 32, page 34. The doctor said, glory to God, hallelujah. That's the way a lot of message for glory to God. The prophet of God said, we need gifts. The prophet of God said, that's why you need men of God to rightly divide the word. A pastor, a church, so on and so on. Now notice then, so anything that has a beginning has an end. God had no beginning, so therefore he has no end. Notice again in Hebrews, anything that had a beginning has an end, but anything that had no beginning has no end. Alright, now let's take that quote and let's apply it to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Now let's take that quote and put it with this scripture. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now let's put that quote with that scripture, which means then the heaven will be destroyed and the earth, because it had a beginning. Glory. Anybody seeing daylight? All right. I'm just wondering, some of y'all looking at me really funny. Now, what's this? Did the earth had a beginning? Sure. Yes, it had a beginning. Did God, in the position, in the office of being God, did he begin? He did. Now, the eternal never started. But in the beginning, he wasn't even God, right? He was eternal, but God is an object of worship. So when he made angels, then he became God. So he actually had a beginning when he started becoming God. So does that mean he has an end also? I absolutely love it when I back him in the corner so tight. Don't we, brothers? Oh, it's just a wonderful, awesome feeling. When you get the devil, just back him up. He can't even wiggle. He's afraid to move his eyebrows. He don't know what to do. That word ties him in knots. Now notice, we know the current order of the heavens and the current order of the earth will pass away, being cosmos. But the earth itself cannot pass away because it's one of God's attributes, correct? But yet Jesus says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day shall come as a thief in the night in which the heaven shall pass away. Well, the great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Unless, of course, there would be something that came of eternal substance and eternal essence. We'll call this the eternal. And out of this eternal is projected parts of itself that becomes material in different slots of time. Then it would change from this form. It would leave us an invisible thought and attribute, and you wouldn't even see it because of its invisibility. But then once it's projected, it would take on this form. Now this certainly had a beginning. But in its previous state, it was here, which had no beginning. But now we can go back and say, well, it started on a certain day, this started on a certain day. All right, now let's project this from this source of eternity. And it goes way out through time and lands down through there. And we can say, now this actually started on a certain time. Well, this did, but its origination, where it come from, it never actually really started. But what if then you could project from this whole source everything that was eternal? And it would come from this whole source, and then what he would do, he would take those things which actually had a certain day that they started, and those that he chooses to express in the form of eternal life, then he would take them and pass them across the stream of time and change them from one form to another, and actually they would no longer be reckoned as creatures of time in the element of time, but they had passed from one stage to another. And they enter into that eternal substance of what they were in this form. Now you know this puzzled Brother Branham a great deal. When he preaches a future home, he read the scripture in 2 Peter 3:10. And before he preaches this, he was really puzzled about it. He was trying to understand how can this be. And he says in future home, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Did you notice here? Heavens will pass with a great noise. Listen, the whole earth will be on fire, but ignite the gases that's in the earth and explode it. The Bible said here, Peter said the heavens will pass away, the earth with a great noise. Such an explosion will rock it. Oh my, because it's got to kill every disease, every thistle, every thorn. Now he tells, he said, I got to thinking, how is this going to pass away when we're going to live on it? How is it going to pass away? Then he found a certain word. Now watch him in paragraph 173. The Greek word pass away, it comes from the word, I had to find it. Oh, I'm glad he found it. I thought, how is this world going to pass away and yet we're going to live on it? But if you'll notice some of you people that wants to put it down, I'll spell it for you. I couldn't pronounce it. It's PAREECHOMIA. Now he said, I don't know how to pronounce it. That's the reason I spell it, because I don't either. Any of you Greek theologians, you're at liberty to stand down and pronounce it for us. Now he says, now that way, as I said, the inspiration strikes me for something. And I go back to find out the word. Now here I can't pronounce the word. I can't pronounce it, he said, but the Lord still gave me a way. I go and find what that word means. Then I got it. Now, can you imagine theologians as they'd read this and say, dear God. And this is a prophet. He can't even pronounce that simple prayer. God hides himself in simplicity. Isn't it amazing? This word lay right there in the Greek language, and Brother Branham could not speak it, but God directed him and gave him inspiration to be able to find this word. Why is this word so important? Because the English words did not transmit the right thought of it. So you had to go back to the word that Paul chose to use. Glory! Now he said, heavens and earth will pass away. Now this word means passing from one form to another. So then if you've got something in the element of time, and then you're able to move it through this process, it can change from one form to another. And it actually comes from substance of material, of calcium, potash, petroleum, cosmic life. And somehow it comes through this process of creative power of God. And he's able to take something that was element of time and change it from one thing to another. Can't you see? That's what happened to the human Jesus. He was so human he could cry. He was so human he could hang on the cross and his body jerk and twitch under the pain in convulsions, beat him so horribly that Isaiah said his visage was so marred he didn't even look like a man. But he's got to convince that bee of death that he's a man. That bee ain't going to sting deity. So deity has to hide in humanity. Glory to God. He's got to say, come on, death, come on. If it'll sit up there, this great deity and his great power, that be it'll never come near it. But he's standing there, sweat on his face and blood on his face, and him seeing his muscles jerk and twitch, and my God, why has thou forsaken me? And my, the old bee of death is totally convinced he ain't nothing but a mortal. But remember what our Arnold von Winklord's got to do. He's got to pull the whole thing of death right into his body. He's going to conquer death. And how is he going to do it? He must face death to conquer death with death. He's not going to conquer death with life, but he will take death and embrace it into his own body, and he will destroy death by death. Hallelujah! He will destroy death by experiencing death. Now watch, heavens and earth will pass away. This word means passing from one form to another. It does not mean annihilation, as the English word would mean. Pass away is annihilated. But the Hebrew word, the Greek word there, does not mean pass away. It means passing from one thing to another. Look, to pass from one condition, it says, to another. Who but God could take a mortal standing here 56 years old, or 65, or 85, or 20, or 19, whatever, and in a moment of time, a sweep come over that mortal body, and cells change, organs change, bones change, the blood goes out. Glory, Jesus said of flesh and, you know, glorified body, spirit don't have flesh and bones. And no friend, whenever we get there, we're not living by flesh and blood. Oh no, well there'll be no blood in them bodies there, you ain't gonna need it. Come on now. How in the world can our mortal body live without blood? It can't. But God gives it a life transfusion. And he takes time out, takes the elements of weakness out. In a moment of time, he will change thousands or millions of bodies. In a moment of time. And while he's doing that, he's raising up millions out of the sixth dimension. And giving them every one a glorified body. And passing them from one form to another. Why? Because that's what happened to him. Watch this. This is amazing. The Spirit of God opened this up to Brother Branham. He said, if you notice, Paul used the same word. If you're going to read it now, put it down. You can read it later in Titus 3:5. Paul is using this same word. It means regeneration. Regeneration. So man has changed from one thing to another. Which is just what happened to your soul. The regeneration has already started within you. The new creation. Now he says he's changed. Regeneration of man. That man passed from a sinner to a saint. Not completely annihilated. When man is changed, he isn't annihilated. But he's a changed person. He's been changed from what he was to what he is. Not annihilated. They said Jesus used the same word in Matthew 19:28. Now not 28:19, but 19:28. He said, you'll sit with me in my Father's kingdom regenerated, you see. So here Jesus uses the same word telling the apostles that you will pass from one form to another. And when you do, you will sit with me in the kingdom of regeneration. Only the regenerated will sit in the kingdom of regeneration. So if you want to go, you better get regenerated. Ah, glory! It ain't enough to shout, it ain't enough to play tape, but you gotta be regenerated. Oh, hallelujah to God! Friends, this is not a fairy tale, this is not some Walt Disney something, this is God's mind! Notice this, he said he used the same word when he said about the colt. Go loose the colt. Let him go. Said the same thing at the resurrection of Lazarus. Loose him. Change him. Well, you say, I can't quit doing this. I can't. Neither can I. Let me make a startling confession. I cannot live a Christian life. None of you can. I'll confess it for you.
Oh, Brother Donnie, I know I need to do it, but I'm afraid to try. I'm afraid I'll fail.
Afraid you'll fail? So that didn't stop you from being born as a human? You know you're going to fail, but you're going to keep on going. Come on. There's only one person that can live a Christian life, and that's Christ. Oh, glory to God. So it's not that hard when you die and He comes in you and lives His own life out. Oh, but I couldn't quit drinking. I couldn't quit smoking. Sure, you can't do that, and He knows it. But what He wants to do is get you so in love with Him and so full of the Holy Ghost that the things of the world pass away and you become a new person. And He says to the devil the same way He said to that colt, lose him and let him go. Lose her and let her go. You imagine that's one of the most little blessed donkeys that was ever born. Wasn't it? The master needs a taxi on Friday afternoon to come through, fulfill scripture. Now remember, a little old donkey under the law, he was as ugly, flop-eared, but if he was a firstborn, he had a right to be redeemed. The priest never saw him. Prophet said his knees might have been not kneed, and he'd stand there on that little little hand, ears all hanging down as ugly as he could be. But the priest never saw his ugliness. The priest never saw his not knees. But what his owner done, what his master done, he took a lamb up there and redeemed that firstborn. Oh, glory to God. And the prophet said his mama would tell him, honey, don't you worry. He said, mama, they'll knock me in the head. They'll kill me. He said, no, they won't. They'll never even see you. You are a firstborn. You've got a right of redemption. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad, friend, that being in Christ Jesus, we have a right of redemption? Why don't God knock us in the head? Why don't God kill us? He can't. He's not looking at my flop ears or my not knee. He's looking at my lamb. And it's sinless. Now watch how this great omnipotence unfolds into such simplicity. God's gifts find their places. Jesus was God in the form of a man. That's hard for people to swallow, even that today. He was God. That's what He was. He was nothing less than God. God manifest in the flesh. He was the creator in His own creation. He was the creator in His creation, by the creation, for the creation. He was the creator in His creation, by His creation, for His creation. Lord Jesus. Oh, it all winds up back in God. The whole thing. Don't you see the fullness of God? He was the creator in so much that He was God. And He was a being on earth. A being of time. You looked at me funny a while ago when I said that. Now you're smiling. Now you got the page and paragraph, don't you? Can you imagine God humbling Himself, the eternal, to come down in a being of time? Now what's God going to do with a being of time? What's God going to do in this being of time? Is it going to cease to exist? Is it going to be annihilated? Ah, a process. A process. Not only for this one, but for every other one thereafter. And notice, so this being of time, which means that He must have a beginning. Therefore, He created Himself a body to live in. Now, as He did with Melchizedek, as He did other times when He appeared and disappeared, and those bodies, He picked them out of the dust of the earth, they could have went right back to the dust of the earth, because that was not His part of the earth used for redemption. And when we come to this, now it totally changes. Who knows how many bodies that God spoke into, or stepped into, or spoke into existence, stepped back out, and went back up, but not this one. This is going to be created by God's redeemed creation. Now watch, so He steps in this being of time. Now therefore God created himself a body. He was a creator, created his own creation. That by this creation, he might save them that were lost in this creation. That's you and I, creatures of time. Oh my. So watch, God creates this being of time and comes down as a river and gets in it, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now what's he going to do once this being of time fulfills the role on the earth as giving his blood? God already had a decision made. He'll not suffer a bone to be broken. He'll not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. So he's entitled the Holy One, even though he's a being of time. So out of hell comes his theophany. Early the third morning. Steps back inside the body. And the body raises up. Now remember, the body still has nail prints, all that sort of thing. Whenever he raises him up, still immortal. Listen. Then what does God do? Changes that body. Perichomia. Perichomia. So he changes it. It went down as a being of time. Life comes back into it. Must do it within 72 hours before corruption sets in. Why? Still a being of time. But God will then move that being of time. Perichomia. He will move it through this process. It'll go in this a being of time and come out eternal. Don't you see? He was not doing it just for him. He was doing it for you, Brother Wes. He was doing it for you, Brother David. He was doing it for this earth. God will do the earth the same way he done Jesus. Oh, glory to God. What? Saw it. He saw the heavens open, talking to John the Baptist. Sure, he come descending out of heaven, a form of a dove, a voice saying, "This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed." So, how was Jesus redeemed? Now, he wasn't lost, he wasn't a sinner. But yet God redeemed this part of the earth. How? Well, it wasn't a virgin birth. Now watch, this is God's process. This is my part of the earth. My part! Don't you see, friends? That's why this must pass into eternity. And this will come back. When you put a spirit coming back, you're breaking the word of God. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. This is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth, I will redeem the rest of it. So if you want to redeem spirit, you use spirit. If you want to redeem blood, you use blood. If you want to redeem earth, you use earth. This is my part of the earth, and I will use this part, this handful of dust, and I will redeem the entire earth. For he is my word made manifest in the whole world. I spoken into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan has held it at this time, but I have come to redeem it. So much of it has made his body. And I'm coming to dwell in it. Now here is Jesus' redemption. When God, the Spirit, gets inside this being of time. And the deposit of eternal life, he will not remain a mortal. He wasn't lost. He wasn't that he needed salvation, but he's fixing to die. And he needs redemption from death.
Oh! He's going to need redemption from death.
And what's going to do it? Life. So from this part of the earth, this is my part of the earth, and from this part of the earth, I'll redeem the rest of it.
John said, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And where did it settle on? Just exactly like it did on there, upon the earth. Watch in parallel. Here comes the dove descending upon the earth. Jesus, John sees the city descending out of heaven, landing on the earth. The bride.
Glory!
Oh, Jesus. Jesus was part of that earth that the Holy Ghost descended upon and remained on Him forever. It can never. Notice, Jesus, being of time, God's servant, but Christ. Notice in the four Gospels, He was not termed Lord Jesus Christ until the book of Acts. He was called Jesus at His birth. But He became Jesus Christ when He got the Holy Ghost. I become Donnie Reagan whenever I was born, July the 9th, 1956. But I could become Donnie Christ when I got my new birth.
You say it's awful bold. It is awful bold. That's just the way my daddy does things.
Let me find a place to stop. Notice, remember that the Holy Ghost ascended on Jesus. Notice, not Jesus ascended on Jesus. The Holy Ghost ascended on this part of the earth. Jesus was a part of the earth. Why? The germ of God, the life of God, designed in the womb of a woman, which was the earth. All right, then the life of God came in. He was the beginning of the creation of God. See, then the blood of God that was there by that germ, when it was shed at Calvary, dropped back upon the earth. What for? To redeem the earth. Now it's been justified. It's been sanctified, called and claimed. And it's to receive this baptism of fire. And you are these other parts that's drawn out of this earth. The earth. You're a part of the earth. Your body. Your soul is a part of God. An attribute of God. Displayed you on earth in a body. The body is to be redeemed. The soul, now the soul is redeemed because it was in sin.
Notice how he said that. He didn't say your soul was sin. It was in sin. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. That attribute of God in you never was sin. It never could be sin. It was only in sin.
Lord Jesus. Watch this. I love this and proving His word. Now we find that God came into this little cell. See, it began to develop cells and drew from His mother's vitamins and things. Then when He become old enough to eat Himself, He began to eat. What is that? Dust of the earth. Which you come up and plant life and animal life and so forth. And as He began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, it began to develop cells. So He's taking from the oceans. He's taking the bread of the earth, which come from the nutrients, the fertilizers and all of that. He's becoming then part of that earth by what He ate. Oh, glory to God. So the Redeemer is taking the redeemed object into His body.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine then as it grows and that holy blood of God pumps through His heart and pumps through His veins and the wheat and the fish and whatever He ate in that day, it was going through to give Him natural sustenance, but it wasn't like the blood in Peter's body. It wasn't like the blood in John's body. It was the Creator! Yet He would sit there and eat a fish sandwich and that like everybody else. Oh my. But if the part of the earth was coming into this part of the earth and with this part of the earth, He'll redeem that earth. So He took it into His own body.
Lord Jesus.
Then when it's fully matured at 30 years old, He was baptized in obedience to John or God in the water and went out. What happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell." What did He come to do?
to redeem that part of the earth.
He was the beginning of the creation of God, because God is not creation only in Christ. He's a creation because God is eternal and the Spirit, and the Spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God. God redeemed that body. Then you tell me, how can it fall back on the Mount of Olives and perish? How can that body disappear? It is redeemed. What if that body can be annihilated? Then what kind of promise have I got? Then he might lose me somewhere down the road. But if it's in the plan of redemption, there is no losing it. Hallelujah! This same Jesus, what? The redeemed body.
God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was the beginning of the creation. His body was the redeemed creation. Let me close with this. So this is how it will revert back in the eighth day. On top of Mount Zion will set the Lamb, and the city will need no light. For the Lamb is the light thereof. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos. Now, for those of you who's got the Godhead like this, you better go to dividing and separating and splitting and carrying on. You're going to be in a mess. Come on. Now what? So here will be the Lamb. And above the Lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that will shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne, but he'll be on his throne. Why? His throne comes with his wife. Whew. Oh, glory!
That's why he ain't got his throne now, because he ain't got you yet. And he can't get his throne till he gets you. Once he gets you in his possession, he gets his throne. Hallelujah!
So here will be Jesus on his own throne, and the Father will hang above him. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and the Son will be one. And while they're yet speaking, I'll answer. Before they can think, I'm thinking for them. And Jesus will commit a perfect, perfect age to the perfect living God that he has redeemed and give over to the Father. Is that right? Will turn to God the Father, which is Spirit, not a man. All nature of goodness gathered together. That's God. You imagine in the eighth day when you and I approach the throne, there he will be on the throne, a man in this glorified body, which at one time eat fish and bread and shrimp and oysters and whatever more that he ate over there. And yet God passed that body through a channel, perikomia, and changed it. And all the brides standing there, he done them the same way. And the earth that the city's setting on, it was tattered with sin. It was off as mess ever was. And he passed the earth through perikomia, through justification, through sanctification, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and changed this earth.
Hallelujah. So, do we look for a real Jesus? Do we look for a corporal body? I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself. I'm looking for that part of the earth that God redeemed. And he said, with this part, I'll redeem the rest. You see, people still struggle with this whole thing of condemnation by representation. People think it's unfair that they were born in sin because Adam did wrong. Even sometimes our sisters. They struggle with, you know, a man having a right under certain conditions to be able to remarry. And women not having a right. And they just think it's just not fair. It's just not fair. Eve did that sort of thing. It's just not fair. I should not be reckoned just because one person did it. Are you sure that you totally want to look at it that way? They say you're looking at the negative side of condemnation by representation. But what if there is another side of representation, which is righteousness by representation? So if one person could represent the entire human race of billions of people that's going to be born on the earth after that one person, and that one person throw the whole thing in sin, then must not God come back by the same thing, the same process, and have a representation? He says, it's not fair. Eve done this and Adam done that and I've done that. No, that's right. They've done that, but now you have your choice. But now there is a representation in the same way on the other side that Almighty God can have one before His throne. He can have millions of saints on the earth that believe in that one's representation, and they are just as holy in God's eyes as that one is. I agree with you. That ain't fair. Come on. Does that seem fair? Does that seem logical that God can look at that one and say, everybody get behind him and you're holy. Everybody get behind him and you're righteous. Everybody get behind him and I'll accept you like I accept him. No, that ain't fair. But I'm glad God done it anyhow. I'm glad that God said, I am determined. I'm going to be a savior. I'm going to have a bride.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Down from His glory. So I ask you, friends. The other night, Sunday evening, Sister Natalie's heart started slowing down and her blood pressure and her breathing getting more shallow and more shallow. And she went to move into that channel of death. Carol told me the day, said, you know, I really we shouldn't be surprised, but Sister Natalie's passed and you've been preaching her funeral for the last 3 weeks. Don't you appreciate God warning you ahead of time to help us to get ready for our lives? You imagine when she started down that dark channel. She had never been to death before. But everything she had need of was in her for her life's journey. When she got ready to pass the stream of time, she needed one more chariot ride. As a matter of fact, David said in the book of Psalms, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now logically, that makes no sense. Unless, of course, you would be on another side looking at things in a total different way. And from where you're looking at it, it is precious. Imagine if she knew she's leaving. Her family's voice is getting fainter and fainter. The sisters, I'm told, was gathered around her singing, you won't have to cross Jordan alone. A smile comes on her face. And she's gone. She had to step up on that chariot and speak to death and say, I am your master. You are not mine. You cannot scare me. Carry me over. Glory to God. Faster than you can blink your eye. It's just merging across Jordan. And God sent some loved ones down to the river. They're waving it. Natalie. You made it. It's over. Glory to God. Imagine as she steps out of that chariot, an 18-looking-year-old body. No pain. No surgery marks. No sorrow. Glory to God. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then those which sleep in Jesus will God also bring with Him when He comes. So the coming of the Lord is not just the coming of Jesus, but it's the coming of Miss Jesus with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is there hope for a resurrection? Because God took that part of the earth and said, I'll redeem the rest of it. So He ate fish and bread and whatever more and took that from the earth in His own body. And God let that blood drip down on the earth. Drip, drip, drip.
If Satan would have known what that blood was going to do, he'd had band-aids all over him. But he didn't know it. And the bee of death thought he was a mere human, so he comes around. Gets in real close. The smell of death is on him. The human sweat mixed with blood. The stench of human flesh. And the bee of death is convinced he's just a mortal. So he makes another pass. He gets his last orders from hell. Kill him. So he comes. And he lands on the chest of Jesus. Bee of death contacting Satan. I killed him. Died like any other mortal. Report on back down to hell for further instructions. But Satan,
he tricked us. He's something bad wrong. I can't give him a stinger out. I can't give him a stinger out. I pulled it out on Elisha and I pulled it out. Oh no, Satan. Don't tell me that was him. It was him. Oh glory to God, it was him. Hallelujah, it was him.
And from this part of the earth, I will redeem your part and your and yours and yours. Old age means nothing. Death means nothing. The Redeemer raised, and I raised with him. Let's sing together. Singing for us, right? So I can stop preaching.
Hallelujah.
Let's just worship him together. Oh, he's worthy tonight, saints.
Every story, my God and Savior, and Jesus was his name.
Listen to the words. Born in a manger.
Tis all.
Everybody now, let's sing it together. If you would. I wonder if there'd be one here tonight that don't know him as your Savior. His redeeming power has never pulled you into that beginning work of creation where he can make you a new person. He could loose you, as he said about the colt. Maybe you're tied with sin.
alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, whatever. You think there is no way. Neither could that little colt loose itself. But through the command of Jesus speaking to men, he told them men, go loose the colt. That's what preaching's for, friends. It's to help you get free of things you cannot do. Maybe you know I'm a Savior and you don't have the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're all of that. You are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. But you're sick or you're just discouraged. You need His presence to come near you. Would you just raise your hand to Him and say, Lord, be mindful of me. Be mindful of me. I want to ask you if you just lay your hand on that person standing by you. If it's someone that you don't know, you wouldn't feel comfortable in doing. If you'd like to move out of your pew, if it's a brother, you wouldn't feel comfortable laying hands on a lady there, that would be fine too. Let's just offer a word of prayer if you would. Heavenly Father, as these believers, Christians, men and women have their hands one upon the other. Maybe there's some here tonight, Lord, that's not Christians. And yet, Lord, something's tugged their heart tonight. They haven't understood all that's been said, but they understood enough to let them know that there's a better life, a better way. May you help them, Lord. I pray for those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, yet maybe they need a little strength tonight, a little encouragement, Lord. Some that are sick, some that are weary. Father, you see, as we have Sister Natalie's memorial service tomorrow night, Lord, and we need your help and strength, dear God. Lord, we so loved her and appreciated her here. It's not hard whenever we can see a real Christian who loves you and lives for you to be able to speak at their funeral. But yet, Lord, it's just their leaving and their departing away from us. It leaves an empty spot there. We're going to miss her. Her husband, her son, her mom and dad, her siblings, her friends, her relatives, Lord, those that she raised up with up in Virginia. But Lord, we're asking you for your help. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for a life that was lived among us. Hallelujah. But as Paul said, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. But we have hope tonight in the resurrection. Thank you, Lord. May you minister to the needs of these people tonight, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, saints. Appreciate each of you that have been here tonight. All the visitors that have been with us. May God bless you. Let's sing this together as we go. The viewing tomorrow night. And for those of you that desire to come from 5 to 7. And the funeral service thereafter. Brother Ron Spencer. Brother Bill Yance and myself. So come for that. And be praying for the family. The days and the weeks that are to come. That God will be with them and help them. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Oh, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. Go in the fear of God. God bless you.